From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. You can also contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do not forget the book by Marcellino D'Ambrosio, When the Church Was Young. It is our offer of the month. I've been talking about it all month long. I do, however, want to take a detour from talking about the very important apostolic fathers, apologists, and church fathers in that book, the gripping stories which are available when you stand with a shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. I want to take a little detour to talk about the importance of the church today, as well as the proper assessment of science in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic. As Christians, we want to be very, very careful not to switch allegiance from God to science, and not to do what Dr. Tony Fauci, who's America's coronavirus task force leader, has done, which is to re-envision science as his God, as has been well documented. Dr. Tony Fauci is outspoken with respect to his disdain for organized religion. And as an avowed humanist, he has little or no sympathy for the significance of the church, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. The early church fathers, of course, were of a completely different persuasion. Church was their life. It was the sphere within which the union of human persons with God is accomplished, because it's through the church that God's saving power is mediated to the whole of humanity. The church is nothing less than the reincarnation of Eden. It's the place in which you and I may access the tree of life, a tree replete with its Eucharistic bounty, a bounty by which our nature is unified with Christ and with other Christians. It's within the church that divine life flows into us, that divine life penetrates the very fabric of our humanity. The point here is that for Dr. Tony Fauci, church, well, it's at best ancillary to a properly ordered society. But for you and I as Christians, no society can properly function without church. And so we must be careful not to evolve science to the status of God in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic, not to mitigate, not to marginalize the significance of the church. Anyone who spent even a modicum of time looking at the progression of scientific speculation knows full well that academics are not impervious to groupthink. And that's particularly true when tenure, when social dynamics, when grants, and many other such things are in play. One would be hard-pressed to come up with a better example of herd mentality in science than the collective embrace of eugenics. In fact, that moniker, eugenics, the science of being well-born, was coined by Sir Francis Galton, cousin to Charles Darwin, someone that everyone at the time looked up to. Galton contended at that time that eugenics must of necessity be applied to humans as well as to horses. And Darwin famously followed suit in The Descent of Man, where he made explicit that his notorious subtitle, The Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life, quite rightly applied to human races. Apart from eugenics, opined Darwin, there's nothing to prevent the reckless, the vicious, the otherwise inferior members of society from increasing at a quicker rate than what he considered the better class of men. And when that happens, said Darwin, the nation will, well, retrograde, as has occurred far too often in the history of the world. Well, groupthink followed immediately on the heels of Galton and Darwin. And so with the dawn of the 20th century, eugenics was standard fare in high school biology classes in America. Remember George William Hunter's textbook, A Civic Biology? I, like most other Americans, remember it as the infamous text at the center of the 1925 monkey trial called the Scopes Monkey Trial. The text makes a stirring case for the pseudoscience of eugenics, went so far as to say that the remedy for those not well-born should be, it's hard to make this come out of my mouth, should be extermination. In her own epic of time, geneticist Carly Stephenson, she, of course, the founder of Decode Genetics, observed that as a result of heavy-handed genetic counseling strategies, we've basically eradicated Down syndrome from our society. And all of this is being breathlessly touted by the evolutionary establishment as evolvement. Of course, in reality, it represents historical recapitulation. It represents, in fact, a throwback to 19th century scientists who hypothesized that the gene pool was being corrupted by the less fit genes of inferior people. And for evolution to succeed, they said, it is crucial that the unfit die. It's just as crucial as that the fittest survive. Why? Because if the unfit survived indefinitely, they would continue to infect the fit with their less fit genes, and the result would be that fit genes would be corrupted and evolution compromised. Well, the logical progression from evolution to eugenics was hardly surprising, but what was breathtaking was the vast rapidity with which this baseless theory was embraced by the cultural elite. Eugenics research was funded through philanthropies like Carnegie and Rockefeller, by foundations which were carried out through their money and research, were carried out at prestigious universities such as Stanford and Harvard and Yale and Princeton. And those who resisted eugenics were considered backward, ignorant. Those who, like Margaret Sanger, embraced eugenics were considered enlightened. My point here is that today we are in danger of falling into a similar trap. If you listen carefully to the rhetoric surrounding coronavirus, you can easily fall into the trap of supposing that what is being dogmatically communicated is settled science. That, however, is a slippery slope. When I come back from the break, I want to talk about just how slippery that slope is and how it applies to our circumstance in the present. Again, we need to be careful not to make science our God. And we need to be doubly careful that the church is not marginalized at the very time that it is most needed. But we are coming up to station break. After the station break, we'll continue with all of this. But in the meantime, I want to thank all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Do remember, this is a critical month in the history of the ministry. And if you can give, it would be deeply appreciated. If you need resources, we'll pray for you. If you have some of the Lord's resources, invest them in the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Again, you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. I want to talk about settled science and what was so often considered settled science in just a moment.
While you may know many of their names, Irenaeus, Origen, Tertullian, Athanasius, and Augustine, to mention a few, what you may not know is the profound impact each made on the faith we embrace today. In When the Church Was Young, Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio brings you the inspirational stories of the earliest heroes of our Christian faith. It's a page-turner that is certain to enlighten you as you experience the lives and insights of these seminal teachers from the early days of Christianity, when the church was young. To receive your copy of When the Church Was Young, Voices of the Early Fathers, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
As a consequence of our ignorance concerning Christian history, writes Bruce Shelley, we find believers vulnerable to the appeals of cultists. Some distortion of Christianity is often taken for the real thing. So warns Dr. Shelley in his contemporary classic, Church History in Plain Language. With vivid stories of major persons in the church's history and concise explanations of key movements, Church History in Plain Language makes the story of Christianity clear, memorable, and accessible to everyone and reveals the great kingdom work flourishing in the world today. It's a fast-paced tour through 2,000 years of history that reads like a novel, yet there is no fiction here. To receive your copy of Church History in Plain Language, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Yeah, thank you, Randy. I'm talking today about the significance of the church in the midst of coronavirus. But I'm also underscoring the limitations of science. And before the break, I was talking about how so much goes under the rubric of settled science and often turns out to be anything but settled. Let me give you a few examples. In 1500, it was settled science that the sun revolves around the earth. We know that's not true. Settled science once said that living things originate by spontaneous generation. Also false. We have the phlogiston theory of combustion that superseded now. At one time, at least, that was the going, but it's now been superseded by the oxygen theory. In the late 19th century, consensus science held the theory of ether as the medium through which light propagated until it was discovered that light is, well, it's an electromagnetic wave. Back in the 1960s, settled science said that the contraction theory of geology explained why the Earth, well, the reason it's like it is now. But today, we have the theory of continental drift. The 1980s presuppositions about the atomic structure of matter precluded the now accepted view of quasi-crystals. Well, Dr. Anthony Fauci, again, he is the leading voice of America's coronavirus task force, speaks with a lot of authority. We have to remember that he, likewise, often contradicts himself within the span of weeks and months. I'm not talking about years and decades, but just weeks and months, when he'd think no further than the matter of masks. Remember back in March? In March, he dismissed the use of masks as questionable, something that, well, it might make you feel better, but doesn't serve a particularly useful purpose. In a matter of weeks, he has now come full circle. And now, according to Dr. Fauci, wearing a mask is essential. In January, Dr. Fauci said that the coronavirus would not be a problem, not be a major threat, particularly a major threat to the people of the United States. Now he is saying we should stay in lockdown and perhaps never shake hands again. The church must not remain silent in the midst of such growing confusion. Instead, it's axiomatic that the church remain on the very vanguard of spelling out the proper parameters of science and spirituality. At the very least, the church ought to be at the forefront of warning believers and unbelievers that there are serious ramifications afoot, serious ramifications of reordering Western civilization. There are serious ramifications with respect to the consolidation of wealth and power in the hands of bureaucrats who have largely proven themselves incapable of being statesmen in the midst of chaotic and turbulent times. My point here is that priests and pastors ought to lead the way, not politicians, many of whom, well, unfortunately, many of whom are in bed with secular media more bent on proclaiming a particular narrative than reporting facts. Make no mistake, the church is not expendable. It may be to Tony Fauci, but it is not expendable. The church is essential. It's essential whether in the midst of pandemics or persecution or political upheaval. It's essential in times of peace. in times of peril. We're at a tipping point. And it's absolutely crucial that the church today is awakened from a diabetic coma brought on by a steady diet of fast food Christianity. As has been well said, the world to come is going to be shaped by whether the worldwide Christian church recovers its integrity and effectiveness and demonstrates a faith that can escape cultural captivity, a faith that can prevail under the conditions of advanced modernity, or a church who simply capitulates. A global church fused together around the essentials of the historic Christian faith is a transformational repository of unlimited, unpolluted energy. Indeed, spiritual fusion is the greatest antidote to the cultural captivity of the contemporary church. It's a life force by which the world may be irrevocably changed for the better. I'm thinking now of something I wrote about. In Truth Matters, Life Matters More, the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. Back on September 27 in 1905, Albert Einstein posed the following transformational question. Does the inertia of a body depend upon its energy content? The answer to that question is encapsulated in the elegant and yet visibly simple equation E equals mc squared. We're all familiar with it. This is an answer by Einstein replete with the capacity for unleashing a transformational energy supply previously unimagined in the physical world. But what Einstein discovered was the power inherent in mass. There's a little play on words I want to make here. He unlocked the stunning reality that microscopic atomic molecules contain, well, an enormous amount of energy that, when unleashed, can vaporize the world or conversely can transform the world. Well, my point is that with E equals MC squared, Einstein confirmed the previously unrealized reality that mass and kinetic energy are equal since the speed of light is constant. In other words, mass can be changed into energy. And what Einstein revealed to be true in the physical realm has to be revealed as well in the spiritual realm. Mass can be changed into energy. And the energy inherent in mass, or mission, Eucharist, a word that means thanksgiving, or the Thanksgiving meal, which is the Eucharist, or communion, which means union with Christ, or the Lord's table, as it's discussed and described by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that kind of mass, so it's a different kind of mass, that's the play on words, has the power to transform the world. In other words, this is the energy that Paul was invoking when he spoke of being energized by all God's energy, which so powerfully energizes me. And this is the energy that can transform the world. It is likewise the reason that the church must arise from its slumber and take the lead in society, as opposed to becoming increasingly irrelevant and easily led. The point of this broadcast is that the church must again arise. Have done with lesser things. Give heart and mind and soul and strength to serve the King of Kings in the midst of the coronavirus. We cannot shy away from the task of the church. The church has never shied away from its task. That's what caused it to grow under violent oppression in the first century. And it is what may cause it to grow in the 21st century as well. I've written about all of this in principle in my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, available through the Christian Research Institute, available for your support. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. By the way, it's also available in audio pages. And do remember the resource of the month when the church was young. I'm going to continue talking about that in the coming weeks, because this is a very important picture of what happened in the first century and what can vicariously happen in the 21st. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. My thanks for all of you who make this broadcast possible, for all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
As a consequence of our ignorance concerning Christian history, writes Bruce Shelley, we find believers vulnerable to the appeals of cultists. Some distortion of Christianity is often taken for the real thing. So warns Dr. Shelley in his contemporary classic, Church History in Plain Language. With vivid stories of major persons in the church's history and concise explanations of key movements, Church History in Plain Language makes the story of Christianity clear, memorable, and accessible to everyone, and reveals the great kingdom work flourishing in the world today. It's a fast-paced tour through 2,000 years of history that reads like a novel, yet there is no fiction here. To receive your copy of Church History in Plain Language, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.